History interview conducted August 28, 1996, with Captain Malcolm E. Wolf, U.S. Navy retired. This is tape number two of a two-tape series.
You want me to go on any further?
If you will, I put a new tape in.
Okay. Let's see, where were we? We were. Oh.
I had your deployment in the Med, but on the Roosevelt and Midway.
And then I was relieved of CO of the squadron, and I went back to Barron Field and spent 2 years as training officer at, not Barron Field, but Bronzeville. Yeah, Barron Field. And we had the carrier qualification units there, and it was a pretty enjoyable cruise. But then I got ordered back to sea as the air operations officer on Cardiff 3 staff, operating on the our main ship, if I recall, was the Philippine Sea, but we kept transferring back and forth because it was a Cardiff staff. And I made three deployments to Westpac, and but actually 2 years, and I'd been married. I got married back in 1951, and so most of my first 2 years of marriage was spent overseas. And when I was supposed to went back to a air group commander, and but Admiral Hobbs, who was my my boss on the Cardiff staff, he wanted me to make another deployment, and they told me if I made another deployment, I would miss out on my air group. And so I tried to get released from it, but he wouldn't let me go, so I had to make a third deployment. We were only supposed to make two, and I made three. And so when I came back, they said, well, you got to go to shore duty. And so I was assigned back to Naval Academy as head of the leadership division at the Naval Academy. And I think that was probably, I had a little trepidation when I first got orders back there, but I didn't feel when I went through the Naval Academy that we got very, there wasn't much leadership instruction given, and I felt pretty deficient in it, and I really felt
you would think that would have been in one of their key areas of concentration.
It should have been, and I think they have reaped the wild wind in many cases because they didn't neglect it. When I got there, the leadership division was a little down in the basement of Bancroft Hall, under the direct supervision of the Commandant of Midshipmen, and the only leadership training really was through the company officers. And there was no formal training as such. They had a military law course, and they had a little administrative course, but I felt there was a big neglect in it, and I spent my whole 2 years trying to get some sort of recognition for leadership training. And I know I did remember from my Naval Academy days that we had a Captain Tabo, who was head of the leadership at the time, and he would give us periodic lectures, and I was impressed by the type of information that he passed out, and even that had gone with the board. Captain Shin, who was a commandant of the midshipmen at the time, was very, very receptive of trying to improve the leadership course. So I started out, and we revised the naval leadership book that had been there as a strictly for the midshipmen, but I felt it ought to be upgraded more as they became officers, as young ensigns coming out and joining it, they ought to have a more firmer basis in what their leadership responsibilities would be. So I had headed up and started out and got a psychologist, two psychologists, and two more, a Marine captain and a Navy lieutenant signed as full-time billets into the leadership division. And we started a push to get a firm course based on a definite naval leadership textbook. And knowing that it would be much more conducive to recognition if we could get some of civilian instructors involved in it. So there was we got a volunteer from the math department, a great man who was very much interested in leadership, and so he was assigned to the leadership division. And we made got the book reviewed and got it revised and got it approved. And when I had left there after 2 years, well, they had upgraded it, the division, to a recognized part of the curriculum, mm-hmm. which was one step forward, and it's gone pretty much steadily upward over the years, and now I think it's in its own division now, I think, and it's got a lot more prestige now than it's ever had. And I think they're finding, I belong to the Naval Institute, and I read those reports. The present superintendent of the Naval Academy, my mind sometimes not so clear on name, but he's a present superintendent. He was the five striper there when I was at the academy, and he's had his problems, and with the integration of the women into it, he's had more problems. And so I think I was reading the Board of Visitors things, and it seems like that over half of their comments was directed at improving the leadership, moral leadership there at the academy, and I'm glad to see that. But I spent a very rewarding 2 years there, and when I left, I got orders over to Rota, Spain, to open up the naval base there in Rota, Spain, as operations officer. And I enjoyed the cruise, but I didn't particularly care for it. That's where I was selected for captain when I was over there, and then came back and spent 2 years in the Pentagon as a director, head of Naval Aviation Training, and then from there I went commanding officer up to the Naval Air Station in Johnsville, Pennsylvania, at the Naval Air Development Center, which is north of Philadelphia. And then I realized that I was going to probably be retiring, so I requested to come back to San Diego as a, I was on the Bureau of Inspection Survey Board for a year before I retired in 1965. And that encompassed about 31 years of, I guess, of naval service that I had when I retired. Mm-hmm. And after I retired, I decided after investigating several employment things around San Diego, we had owned a home here in San Diego and held on to it for many years, so my family was just starting to be teenagers at the time, so I decided I would like to go into teaching, so I went back, got my teaching credential at San Diego State, and then followed that I got a position over at Coronado High School and taught there in the math and science department for 12 years. In the meantime, I got my master's degree at State in physical science, and I completely retired after 12 years over there in 77, I think, from teaching, and been RVing ever since.
Been camping ever since. Right. Any other thoughts concerning any aspect of your career that we've passed over? Any anecdotes?
Along what lines would you?
The reason I face it like that, I think we've covered everything that I could think of already. And I don't know what it was.
I don't know. I don't really have. I wouldn't. One of the things that's hit me recently has been the suicide of Admiral Borda. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time coping with that as a reality because I couldn't quite visualize a person who had reached the pinnacle of his success and feel it necessary to commit suicide because of some apparent discrepancy in his wearing of a combat V, and it just didn't make any sense. And it never made any sense to me when he shot himself in the heart. If I was going to commit suicide, I wouldn't shoot myself in the heart. I'd shoot myself in the head. And I couldn't quite. It just didn't make any sense until I read an article in American Spectator, which said that it really wasn't an affair. The thing about the wearing of the combat V's wasn't the problem. It was a matter of honor to Admiral Borda.
Mm, I think it was honor entirely. His honor had been besmirched.
Well, he brought out there that at the commencement exercises, a speech had been given by the former Secretary of the Navy, who, and I have a copy of that, of the article, and I didn't hear the speech, and I never seen it published in any proceedings, but in this speech, who was the former Secretary of the Navy? He made the remark to the midshipmen that there had been a complete lack of support during the tailhook operations of that many fine officers' careers had been ruined and besmirched by the allegations made and not proven, and that over 30% of the elite of the Naval Aviation Corps had resigned, and that there had been no support from the higher echelons on this matter. And it said, and he closed his remarks by saying that there is an admiral who failed to put his stars on the line when it was necessary to protect his officers. And went on to point out that an instance where he had forced the retirement of his assistant chief of naval operations, who was apparently one of the finest officers in the Navy and headed up the Gulf War Navy, and he had been forced to resign because he would not go along with overriding a decision by one of the congressmen to drop a female pilot from the program. In fact, it was over that the admiral, the assistant chief of naval operations, resigned from the Navy. And it was just shortly after that speech that Admiral Porter committed suicide. And the thrust of this article was that his honor was at stake. That was really what his problem was. That his honor had been brought into question. And
so it wasn't the V.
It was
at all.
No,
it was the bigger issue.
It was his brought to task by fact that he wouldn't place his stars on the line to stand up for the Navy that he was required to do. Well, if you remember back in the 1947, when the big I was at the Naval Air Test Center when the big fight took place between the carrier operations and the big bomber operations, and there were three outstanding naval officers who were selected for admiral. They laid their stars on the line, standing up for the carriers over the other one, and they were both failed in promotion. In fact, one of them they were brothers of a classmate of Vince Comrin, and they were both outstanding naval officers, but they laid their careers on the line, and going up and refusing to let the process be politicized, and they won their case, but they lost their careers in the process. And this was really I think Admiral Porter's problem was that he had become politicized, and he just, I guess he couldn't take the heat. I guess that was it.
It was a very unfortunate circumstance.
I don't think there's been any precedent. I don't think any other has ever done that. I've never known a chief of naval operations commit suicide.
Yeah. Closest thing I can. Captain Wolf's interview.